You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad our guest is here. I'm very excited to have this conversation today, and I think all of you will be too. I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, I am Veronica Hanway Lee, and I am a proud homeschool mama and PhD student.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you said the magic words, homeschool mama, because this is the time of year. Well, it's always the time of year. You can homeschool at any time. The calendar does not determine homeschooling. So if something's not working for your little one and your learner needs a change, anytime. So if you're hearing this right now, this is your sign to think about homeschooling. And that's one of the things I really want to visit with our guest about today. So when you say homeschool mama, what does that mean to you?
That means that I am, my partner and I are taking care of educating our child.
That's a really great answer. I mean, I think that's wonderful. I think so many times we complicate it and we try to make it so much that it becomes overwhelming to folks. And so what I'm hoping is this conversation today will empower and embolden people who want to homeschool. If you don't want to homeschool, we're not going to come to your house and force you to do it. You know, there's many good schools and great teachers out there. But if you've been thinking about homeschooling or you are homeschooling right now, I hope this conversation will help you. I want to make sure we spotlight the wonderful work you are doing as a scholar. Can you share some of that with us, please?
Thank you for having me. So my work right now is focused on understanding how people are adapting to avoiding those infectious diseases that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. In clean air communities where people are really trying to adapt. Many of us have adapted, and people in clean air communities are also very open and understanding of, like, okay, well, maybe you stopped masking back in 2021, but you got COVID and now you have long COVID. How can we help you avoid more infections? And how can we help you adapt? And one thing that's also amazing about these clean air communities is that adapting to avoiding COVID has also helped people in clean air communities adapt to not breathing in wildfire smoke. So just last year, we saw a lot. Well, wildfire season has become almost a year-round thing. So they have the tools of respirator masks, of air purifiers to make sure that they are breathing clean air and not breathing in all of those chemicals from both the wildfire smoke, but also the smoke that happens from burnt buildings.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack and to think about in the work that you're doing. And so when you think about the work that you're doing, how do you want it to impact daily lives?
Oof, that's a good question. One of my hopes with my research is that, you know, a lot of people in clean air communities are either disabled or medically vulnerable or socioeconomically disadvantaged, whether it's by race or class or gender. And a lot of these people in our clean air communities have felt abandoned and actually have been abandoned by so many of our loved ones and society as a whole. And my hope is that with my research and with my work with people in clean air communities, that their stories can be heard and understood, acknowledged, and then also all of these adaptations that we have made as communities are very essential for the climate change disasters that we are seeing now. How are we going to adapt to more infectious diseases as climate change and global warming temperatures increase more and more every year? So the ways that people in clean air communities have adapted to avoiding COVID and measles have long-standing value for the globe. It's so important, and there's so much value in learning. And also with the abandonment, like, a lot of people in clean air communities have also created so much joy and creations of, like, Sister Creatives Rising. They're having an art show, and that is so much joy. And I recently read an article by Dr. Tiana Bruno where she says that a lot of the environmental justice scholarship is based on death and the dying of Black people and BIPOC communities. But there's not a lot of joy. There's not a lot of hope. And there is so much hope and joy to be found in clean air communities and people like Amaranthia and Claire, where they're creating these art shows and really raising awareness. And beautiful artwork, phenomenal artwork.
I'm really glad you said that, because I think some of the wonderful things are being lost. You know, that, for example, expansion. You know, people think about restriction, quarantine, quote-unquote lockdown, all those kind of things. But what if we thought of them as expansion? That on Zoom, you can talk to people you never would have met any other way. In these groups and these communities that are staying safe, there are people that are treasures and gems that you would never have met any other way. No other way. You would never have done it. And for us as Indigenous people, it has actually expanded our world tremendously. You know, we're in fellowship and community. I don't necessarily have some tickets to New Zealand in my purse, but I'm able to talk with our Maori kin folks every week. And we might not know people from certain other Indigenous communities and tribes, but now, because of technology and a willingness to use it, we do. And so I love the joy. I love the expansion. I love the reframing of it. Thank you for doing that.
I really love how you put the willingness to use it. I think that's so important. I know growing up, like, I watched, this might show my age a little, watched the Jetsons and being, and even like Star Wars or Star Trek or Galaxy Quest. And before, everybody was like, oh, well, I can't wait to be able to see someone on a screen. And then now, like, there's been so much of a push of, like, well, we need to see you in person. well, is that exactly safe? Is it safe for me to share air and breathe shared air with you? But using technology that we have access to and being willing to use it and not pushing people to do things that aren't necessarily safe or comfortable for them.
Right. I'm wondering also about accessibility. How many times have we missed out on amazing people with gifts and talents, right, that couldn't get to an office, pandemic or not? I was thinking about a story my dad was telling me about a woman that is in her 90s, and she could see her church from her window and yet couldn't get there because she was in a nursing home, assisted living, whatever, couldn't get there. And yet, when people became willing to live stream church services, she could participate again. That's incredible to me. That there is treasures of people. There's just people with gifts and talents that companies would never even know about until they permit remote work. There's people who are passionate and really want to do things and can do them and have wonderful things to offer. And yet mobility issues, accessibility issues have kept them from the community. And now with the technology that we have, they can be part of it. And not like, oh, poor you, now you can be part of it. No, they can offer and enlighten and inspire and uplift us too with what they have to offer. And so I think it is, again, a decolonizing, there's that word, or indigenizing mindset, you know, that we don't just start with this. And if you can get here, then you can have some of this experience. We start with, here's the experience. How can we maximize the amount of people who have access to it?
And, you know, you saying that reminds me of one of the worries that I had about homeschooling, of like, oh my gosh, actually when the pandemic started, I was like, oh my gosh, is my child going to have friends? Like how, especially when, so there's a term called hardcore COVIDing where you are doing everything, that you're able to do to make sure that you don't get sick.
Especially
when you're hardcore COVIDing, like how is your child going to make friends if you are in a rural area where there is like no people taking clean air precautions? How is that possible without the internet? And also making sure that one thing that my partner and I discussed when we joined one of the online co-ops was, how are we going to ensure that our child's friends have parents who have similar values as
similar
us?
Similar values, yeah, alignment.
And something that we realized in 23 was that, you know, not everyone who is taking clean air precautions is anti-racist and anti-ableist.
Right, right.
And it's not always safe spaces. So something that I've really worked on doing, and I know some other mamas, other hardcore COVIDing mamas have done, is really making sure that we know the parents of the children that are kids are playing with and having play dates with and classes with. That's so important.
But it would be important in any context, too. You know?
Exactly.
You know, you wouldn't just send your child to anyone's house. we would want to know about this person and this family and what they believe. But I do think that we do add another layer. I don't know how to play chess at all, but I think about the chess masters, right, who have different levels of, like, chess expertise or chess triumphs and things like that. And I feel like we're adding another level another layer when we do talk about being people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is really different because we have to bring a whole different set of already there issues. into spaces that are still COVIDing as well, right?
Right. And it's something that I've definitely had conversations with other COVIDing mamas of color of, you know, like a lot of these COVIDing groups, clean air groups are very white centered, and it's not, those spaces aren't always safe to say, hey, y'all, we probably shouldn't be traveling to places where they do not want tourists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's also enlightening to see how the pushback happens, and also definitely makes me even more grateful for the BIPOC COVIDing groups. Because, my goodness, there's a lot of racism and ableism that happens within the other COVIDing groups. And I don't think that's discussed enough.
Or at all.
Right.
I mean, but I think there's one other thing, too, that I want to bring out from what you said, because it's brilliant. But, you know, in Indigenous culture, friend with a capital F is an office, just like mother or father or aunt or uncle, right? I mean, your friend is for real your friend. Like, they, you know, if something happens to you, they'll raise your children. You'll fight beside each other in battle. You'll take care of one another during birthing. All of these things. It's a big deal. Friend is just thrown around now, like Facebook friends, or I've got these friends, or whatever. No, but friend was a real office. There were ceremonial ties, covenant relationships that were built with your friends. And I think one of the things that I have really seen and learned and really had reified for me during this time is that we must love our friends. I mean, when we find people that are aligned with us, kind to us, we like them, they like us, we can't just take that lightly or for granted. We have to really cherish those friends, nurture those friendships. And I think that is the message that I have really learned from dealing with all of these different communities and the political system and everything else that's going on. People are not disposable. And so when you have a friend, when your child has a friend, that's a gift from the Creator. You know, God has given you a gift. It just happens to be in flesh and blood. But it is someone that's in your life to love you and you love them. Then there's just, you know, absolutely nothing we wouldn't do for our friends. And I think that is a message that has to really come forward more now. Because if you're going to take precautions, if you're going to live in certain ways, if you're going to have certain values and ideals, you're going to have people that share those ideals and those values and those precautions. And when you find them, you're going to have to just appreciate them and hold on to them because, I mean, as long as they're not toxic, of course, but because there won't be a whole lot of them. You know, there just won't
right.
be tons of people around every corner who get it. And so it makes them even more precious. Like, you take care of your good jewelry, right? You know, you take care of your good china. You know, you'll have to take care of your friendships and really nurture them because we now know they're going to be more rare than they might have been in the past. What's your advice to parents, caregivers, mamas who are trying their best right now, but it seems really hard, and maybe, you know, they don't have the support systems and people who think this is a great idea?
I think, and this is one thing that I discussed the other day as one of my COVIDing mama friends, was to remind yourself that you're doing a great job, even through the heartbreak of losing in-person community, even through all of the political baloney that is going on in the world and the country and even locally in some places, you're doing a great job protecting your children in the ways that you know how. And also your willingness to protect your kid from airborne diseases is no easy feat. And to definitely give yourself props for that. It is hard. It is so hard.
It is,
And we also know that it's worth it. It's worth it for our kids to not get long COVID. It's worth it for our kids to not get POTS or diabetes or have cognitive decline. It is so worth it to protect them because we're, like you said before, like we're setting them up for our children's generations after them. And it's so important to, and also give yourself grace on those days where, you know, maybe you read a little, some news that was too, that was really heartbreaking.
Right.
And maybe it's hard with having patience and remembering, like, we are human. And also, I know, at least with my coveting mama friends, also remembering to repair that relationship with our children. You know, mama was having a hard day. I found this out, or and making sure to apologize. I think something that I've noticed with a lot of coveting parents is they call it gentle parenting or mindful parenting. And making sure that we restore and repair our relationship with our children is so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want that for all of our children, and I want that for all of our parents as well. Because, let's be honest, if you're a person of color, it's always been a real challenge to raise children. Right? Trail of Tears. Slavery, right? I mean, there's just all kinds of things that were happening throughout history where, wow, it was really a challenge to raise children. And so I think we have to acknowledge that this is challenging, you know, and we need to do it in community. We need friends, we need community, we need loved ones, somebody who will help us just make sense and navigate of this. And so when we're repairing things, we're rebuilding things, when we're apologizing, when we're proactively informing, you know, I think one of the things I see a lot of is, you know, you have to do this. We are doing this. This is what we're doing. Instead of explaining to children why we're doing it. You know, this is what we do to stay safe, and this is why we want to stay safe. And not as opposed to, you kids just can't do that, you know, or, you know, put that on or what, you know. Okay. There's a lot to be thought about here. And it's better, I think, to have these kind of conversations when we're calm and, you know, have the mindset for it than to try to be explaining to someone, you know, what's going on when we're sort of at the end of our rope or our capacity, right?
Right.
So I love the fact that you're willing to have these conversations and you're willing to do the thinking and the work. And I do want to circle back a little bit and talk about your Primary Pals class again. I think it's important. I want to really talk about that a little bit more because I think it's the antidote, right? I mean, okay, how are your children going to have friends? How are your children going to socialize? Well, here's an answer. Here's an answer. How are you going to get a break, parent, homeschooling parent, who's also remote working and also, you know, like, also trying to hold down, you know, the fort and trying to keep everybody alive? You know, it's not just, wow, I mean, we have a big assignment. We have a big assignment. And so I feel like your Primary Pals is a really great way to help us with all of this kind of at once. So what do you think a typical Primary Pals class will be like?
That's a great question. And it's something that Miss Bethany and I have talked about. And I'm really excited because this summer for the university, I taught a Regions of the World class. Mm-hmm. And this year for Primary Pals, we will also be learned, the theme is Regions of the World, which is focused... I'm really excited, and we're focusing on making sure that our children, I feel, need to understand or at least learn that learning that having an appreciation for different cultures and different languages is very important to being someone who lives on our planet.
Uh-huh.
So we will be learning about indigenous peoples from all different regions.
Yay.
And music and different languages, and we'll also make sure that we know how to say hello to each other in our friends' different languages, or the languages that they speak, and making sure that they have time to just share, share what they're feeling, share what they've learned, share what they're excited about. It doesn't have to be any particular thing, and also feeling comfortable enough to express their feelings, you know. Navigating big feelings as a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, oh my gosh, even an almost 40-year-old woman can be hard. also learning about that and knowing that it's okay to have big feelings. And so we'll be learning all sorts of stuff like that. And we'll be saying hello. We'll be learning the lesson for the day, sharing a little bit. The lesson, definitely play-based learning.
Mm-hmm.
And child-led learning. I think it's really important to go with the flow of the class rather than trying to make sure that, you know, if my class, and I learned this earlier on in my teaching of, you know, younger, when I was teaching preschool and trying to teach, some of the students just didn't, more than half the students were not about it. I was like, okay, learning how to pivot. And then also letting them know, you know, it's okay. Well, we had this planned, and also communicating to Primary Pal's parents of, you know, we had this plan, but class did not go that way today. So we'll sprinkle in some of that information for the next class. Does that answer your question?
Oh, that's perfect. That's the perfect answer. Now, again, how do folks sign up for this? How do they become part of this? If this is something they think, oh, wow, this could benefit their homeschool learner.
So they can go to boldandbrightacademyonline.com, or they can reach out to me on my social media handles at GeoHippie on Blue Sky and TikTok, at Hippie Sunshine on Instagram, and at Earth Hippie on Twitter. And I'm also on Facebook. If you just search in the top bar, Veronica Lee. And also you can contact me via Google as well.
Perfect. We love Bold and Bright Academy. We really do. And the on-demand classes are fantastic. I'm really blessed to be able to teach the story time with Dr. Dawn and the heart-to-heart with Dr. Dawn, that social-emotional learning, and Happy Homeschoolers, which is the parent class, where for literally 2 academic years of your life, 2 full years, I will hold you by the hand with a weekly lesson about how to homeschool and to have fun and be happy while you do it. So we love Bold and Bright, and now that Primary Pals is part of Bold and Bright under your great leadership, we are even more excited about it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. What I'm going to hand you the mic and let you speak directly to the children that you'll be teaching in Primary Pals, and whatever words you would like to share with them.
Oh, I'm so excited to be your teacher. I'm so excited to learn with you because you will also be teaching me. I'm not just a teacher. I'm also a learner. I'm a lifelong learner. So I'm excited to learn with you and from you and teach you and have fun. And I cannot wait to see all of your smiling faces because you all have beautiful smiles and wonderful laughs. And I am super excited to see all your artwork and spend time with you this year.
Oh, I love it. Well, while you've got the mic, would you please speak directly to homeschooling parents? And tell them some good uplifting advice, wisdom, and encouragement.
I am so proud of you. I know it isn't easy homeschooling all the time, and I think you are the people who know what's best for your children. And you are oh my gosh, so inspiring and amazing. I'm so inspired and in awe of so many how adaptive you are as parents homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Are you glad you're a homeschool family?
Oh, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. We are too. And so I want you again, now speak to people who might be considering homeschooling, like they're thinking about doing it. They haven't made up their mind yet. What would you say to a family who really feels like they're led to do it and maybe just needs that last little bit of encouragement?
You can, at first I thought I wouldn't be able to homeschool, but in reality, we're always homeschooling, even from when our children are babies. We're teaching them how to talk, how to walk, how to do, how to learn. So you are definitely the best educator and you'll be teaching your children your whole life. So why not homeschool?
Yes, what a beautiful way to look at it. I am so grateful to you. But I'd also like to say to you, thank you so much for being my friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. And thank you for being you and having these conversations and having the courage to have conversations like you do on your podcast and being my friend and just, oh my gosh, I'm inspired by you all the time.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, and I'm so thankful our children are besties. I love it. We'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio. The way it should be heard.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road. But I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Humpty Dumpty got stoned on a wall, lost his balance, and had a great fall. All of his doctors and all his sad friends couldn't put Humpty together again.
Do you know what your kids know about drugs? Need help? Get help. Visit our website at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
We are strong and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I'll ask our guest, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Hi, I'm Veronica Hanway Lee, and I am a proud COVID cautious homeschool and mama and geography PhD.
What's your why? Like, what's the reason that you have chosen to homeschool your precious learner?
That's a good question. So before my child was born, my partner and I had a lot of conversations about how are we going to keep him safe from gun violence that happens in a lot of schools here in the U.S. And so we decided that then, back in 2018, that we would homeschool, but then now we're also homeschooling him to protect him from airborne illnesses like COVID-19, the measles, mumps, rubella, all those infectious diseases that are causing outbreaks in a lot of schools across the country and the world.
Tell us this. Is COVID-19 still a danger? I think people need to hear your answer to that.
Oh, most definitely. We're actually seeing, earlier this summer, we started seeing the summer waves start over on the Asian continent. And now we're seeing a lot of reports of COVID spreading across everywhere. Again, I mean, it's always there. It's been there since 2020, but these summer waves are getting increasingly worse since 2020-21.
And what's the very best way we can protect ourselves from COVID-19, but also other airborne diseases?
The best way the science tells us that the best way is to make sure that you breathe clean air. So wearing respirator masks when you're in public, indoors and outdoors, and using air purifiers, and where monitoring your CO2 levels in your house or wherever you go. Also, not being around other people who are sick, and testing before you meet up with people, and unmask around people if you all test negative. Another way is to stay up to date on your vaccines and boosters. We've seen a lot of declines in vaccination rates, and staying vaccinated is very important. And also being honest with people when it comes to potential exposures. Have you gone to a hospital? We're seeing a lot of hospital-acquired infection and healthcare facilities. There's not a lot of clean air precautions put in place in places where people have to go. So making sure that you wear your respirator masks and your children wear respirator masks. And if they can't, getting a PAPR, a personal air purifier thing to wear over your head. I know there's also PAPRs for strollers, for our little ones who can't mask, making sure to stay up to date on the dangers of COVID and the science. A lot of the big media and everything like that kind of downplay and just say, oh, well, it's just a cold. Like, no, it is a disabling and deadly disease. I've lost well over 10 loved ones to their COVID infection. And it's still deadly, it's still infectious. And a recent study came out that long COVID rates are higher than asthma in children now in the U.S. So also protecting our children from long COVID symptoms.
Well, I'm so sorry for the losses that you faced, and I thank you for sharing this information with us, because I do think we have to remember that our children are so precious, they're our future. You know, in indigenous cultures, we're taught to make decisions with the seventh generation in mind. And so protecting our children right now is actually protecting our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, because we are protecting their health. So let's put these words together. COVID, cautious, or airborne, aware, homeschooling. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. It's something I get a lot of questions about. COVID cautious, airborne aware, homeschooling. There's a lot of different ways that the still COVIDing community or COVID conscious or people who are just avoiding COVID are homeschooling their children. There are virtual co-ops and in-person co-ops. There's also virtual schools where children can get their education from world-class educators and really get that socialization that, you know, everybody says, oh, well, you're homeschooling. Do your kids even have friends or something like that? And it's like, oh, yeah, like they have friends, all right, and they have besties and they love their friends, and they get they have all the social skills that we would want for them. And that's also something that we're seeing, the scientific literature is showing, with kids who have multiple COVID infections, is that their social skills and their emotional skills are declining with COVID infections. And, you know, COVIDing, still COVIDing, homeschooling is really important for our future generations.
Thank you for saying that. I think, you know, the more we have these beautiful conversations, the more we all can find a path forward. You know, an emergency is only an emergency if you're not prepared for it. If somebody has a flat tire and they have two spare tires in the back and know how to put them on, that's an inconvenience, not an emergency. And I think as we go forward, oh, well, if you don't have any spare tires, now it's an emergency. But as we go forward, I think these kinds of things are how we shape lives, right? We are not wanting to catch COVID. We certainly don't want our children to catch it. And then these other diseases are no joke either. I mean, there's some other diseases roaming around that are really, really destructive too. And so as we think of it, how do we have a normal life, a happy life, a blessed life, even when, you know, we have to be considering these other things? So you said the word socialization, and that probably is the number one question I get. I speak at a lot of homeschool conferences and things like that, and it becomes sort of the gotcha question, you know, because your curriculum is fantastic, the education is fantastic. Yeah, but what about socialization? So you're making a real contribution in that era, and it is Primary Pals. So can you please tell us about Primary Pals?
Oh, so Primary Pals, I am a teacher of Primary Pals this year through Bolden Pride Academy Online, and it is a class that is filling up fast. We will be talking, so my teaching philosophy is that children need to have fun in order to learn. And that's also how I teach my other classes with the university. And if children aren't having fun, then the information that we're trying to teach them doesn't really stick that well. If it's just repetitive, or bite and respond, it doesn't really seem to stick. And since I've been teaching, oh my gosh, I've been teaching almost 20 years now, I've noticed that kids like to play and they love to have fun. And with Primary Pals, we'll be bridging grade 1 to grade 2 core objectives, and we'll be going over science, studies, music and motion, literacy, social and emotional learning, and numeracy.
That's really wonderful. And so how can parents find out about this, or if they want their children to participate, what would they need to do?
So they would need to enroll at boldandbrightacademyonline.com. And you can also set up a meet and greet with me to chat, and I can get to know you and your little scholar. And then we can go from there.
What are your goals for this wonderful class? What do you hope will happen as a result of you teaching these learners?
That's a good question. One of my goals is to make sure that these little scholars feel seen and understood and loved. Something that I noticed throughout my course of teaching is that not all the teachers actually love teaching. And I've been a longtime educator. I love teaching. I love making sure that my students feel understood and seen while also giving them the skills and the education to progress through their education.
And what do you love most about teaching?
Oh, that's a good question. I love the smiles and the laughter and also seeing the growth that I see from my students, especially from the beginning of the year or the beginning of the semester, and then as we progress, just seeing their minds make those connections is just beautiful to see.
So what's the difference in your mind? Because you're an expert educator. I mean, you've taught all kinds of levels and all kinds of students. And so when you look at this, what's the main quality that makes virtual classes a success?
That's a good question. I think one thing that has been really important for my little learner is being able to learn safely and making sure that, you know, there is some privilege that comes with virtual schooling, which means like you need to have access to internet, and that's not always possible, especially with climate disasters happening. Internet isn't always stable. One thing that I think the most important thing is to be able to be safe from the gun violence and the diseases, and to be in a safe space, like you're learning in your home. And what space is more safe than your home?
So what can parents do to maximize the success of having their child in a virtual class? I think a lot of students don't necessarily prosper by just being a sort of, you know, all right, I'm turning on the laptop for you, then I'm going to go off and do some other things, you know. How do we maximize the success of virtual classes for our learners as parents and caregivers?
So one thing that I learned last year was to really make sure that I, as a parent, I know my child's teachers. I have open conversations about their progress or what needs to be improved on, and really having, and sometimes those conversations aren't easy and light. It's just like, oh my gosh, I'm so worried about, for instance, handwriting, worrying, or like my child, for example, like my child doesn't really seem to be into math right now. What can I do? And talking with his teachers or art or any of those subjects, really making sure to have open and honest communication with the educators for the virtual learning.
I think this is wonderful. I mean, I love hearing this, and I love thinking about it in these great ways. Okay, so what do you think creates a successful virtual class for a teacher? Like, how do teachers maximize virtual classes?
Whoa, that's a good question. planning, I would say planning and making sure to know your students and at least have some basic understanding of what their learning space looks like. I know from my experience, I know a lot of my students learn in either their kitchen or their living room, and making sure that they feel comfortable. They don't have to sit the entire time during class, because especially with younger students, those like 5 to 8 year olds, like, we got to do some movement. I know my little guy likes to jump on the couch mm-hmm. during classes. Mm-hmm. And I've also seen other students just run around the room during classes. And I think making sure that the space is safe and also virtual safety, making sure that those boundaries are set with the other parents of, hey, we're not recording these classes. We're not taking screenshots of students without their consent. We're not going to do that, because we want to make sure that our children's digital safety is protected.
I'm really glad you mentioned online safety, because I think that's something that we don't think enough about in the homeschool sphere. You know, we do have these beautiful classes that are live classes, but we also have on-demand classes, and people are using curriculum online, and children are using laptops and tablets and, you know, things a lot in homeschool. So can you give us some helpful ideas that parents can use to teach our learners about online safety as we navigate these classes?
That's a good question. So one thing that we have done is we have painter's tape. We use painter's tape on our devices where we will cover up the camera. And even though with a lot of laptops, there is a light that turns on when the camera is on, but we like to make sure that we have cover over the camera. And then also making sure that there are parental controls on the laptop, on the tablet, or the phone that children can't change, that are password protected, because, you know, our little ones are very, very smart and they are always observing what we're doing. So making sure that they are protected that way, and also microphone access to certain apps, and making sure that those settings can't get changed. And I know with Zoom, there, with some classes, you have to give permission every time you log into class of, okay, can the teacher unmute student? And sometimes that doesn't work for all classes. And just making sure that, and I don't want to say use common sense, because digital safety isn't something that's always talked about, and it's very important, especially with virtual learning.
I really appreciate you helping us with those things, because I don't think we talk enough about the practical side. You know, we talk about curriculum, we talk about classes, but then there are some practical things that we have to discuss. So what kind of school supplies? I know public schools send home a school supply list, and you've got to go buy these things. But what kind of things do homeschool families need in their environment to make the classes a success?
So at least with my classes, I keep the school supplies really simple. Like when I teach like early geographers, it's just a piece of paper or a tablet and something to write with. I know that sometimes there are like science experiments that we'll do. So one thing as educators that I think is very important with homeschooling and virtual homeschooling is making sure that the parents or caregivers know what they need for the classes ahead of time. So do we need paint? Do we need markers? Do we need coloring pencils? Do we need pastels? And one thing that I'm doing with primary pals this year to try and mitigate those issues of parents not having things is just sending out a form, hey, what kind of things do you have? One of the teachers that we know just ask, you know, what kinds of supplies do you have? And then we'll just work from there. You don't need to go buy anything. We don't want you to feel like you have to go buy, like, world-class markers or anything because, you know, they're little. And just really making sure that you have, and also making sure that you have what your child likes to use. I know my child does not like to use coloring pencils, so we have plenty of paint. We have plenty of markers. But also making sure that if there is an issue with not having access to that, letting the educator know, okay, well, we might need some mutual aid help to get some of these things so that my child can actually do activities that either you want to do or that they want to explore.
Wow. You know, thank you for thinking that through. And, you know, in community, there's a lot of safety. There's a lot of help in community. So I'm really glad you even mentioned the mutual aid aspect, because I think it is really important to be thinking that way. So how do we build community, even in virtual classes?
So with virtual classes, like I said before, a lot of, like, games and getting to know students and letting students know, like, get to learn their peers of, okay, well, the student wrote this story. Does anyone have any questions or comments or feedback on this story? And really fostering that open communication. And it doesn't have to be verbal communication. It can also be text-based. It can also be art-based. If your learner isn't comfortable talking on the computer, that's okay. You don't need to talk on the computer. Just let us know. And I think having conversations with parents as educators, having conversations of, like, okay, well, my child isn't feeling like talking today, or they don't want to, or what have you. What are the ways that they like to communicate with you? Having those conversations, I think, is really important as an educator and also as a parent, letting your student's educator know, hey, this is how my child communicates. I know one student really loves communicating how they're feeling through dance. So, or what they've learned through dance. So being able to learn and then also communicate in some way, I think, is really important from the parent's perspective, and definitely for the little scholar, being able to show, hey, I am learning. I might be a little quiet or a little shy or just not feeling talking today. Like, that communication and virtual community, I think, is really important.
Wow, that's wonderful. That just shows your compassionate heart and your expert education mode. I mean, you are so gifted as an educator, and we can really tell that. So how do parents get involved with your wonderful live classes and what you're doing?
Like for Primary Pals?
Sure. For Primary Pals, there might be parents that think this might be the perfect way to have a good blend of socialization and academics.
That's a great question. So they can go to boldandbrightacademy.online.com and reach out to me there. They can also find me on social media. One of my handles is at GeoHippie on Blue Sky and TikTok, at Hippie Sunshine on Instagram, and at First Hippie on Twitter. And they can also just search up my name, Veronica Hanway, in Google. If you're not on social media, you can also find me that way as well.
I just love that our children learn together and they're such good friends, and that gives me so much joy. I love that we all had this conversation today. I'm so thankful for it, and I'm thankful to all of our sponsors, donors, platforms, guests, engineer, everyone who makes this possible. We're so grateful, and I can't wait till we're all together again next time. I'll see you then.
You got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.